Hope everyone is tryptophaned out from your turkey, if that's what you ate, except if you're a vegetarian, and or you've got other things that you prefer to eat. It's good to gather this morning, and it was pretty cool when I was driving here and seeing the clouds over the hills this morning. I mean, we have this overcast skies, which, you know, we don't get a whole lot of that, except for maybe this time of year. It looked like Mount Diablo was wearing a little hat this morning of the clouds. So we can give thanks for even the overcast skies that we have today. It actually fits really well with our theme. This is an interesting Sunday. This is a year where we have an extra week between Thanksgiving and Advent. So we have kind of this pivot Sunday where we're kind of moving from a fall season and focusing on gratitude and giving thanks and really trying to focus on the growing light of Christ as he's in the world. And this whole period of Advent, you know, everything else in our world is rushing to Christmas morning, and it started like 8 weeks ago. And you get to what's that store right next to the dollar store? Yeah, the dollar store. Yeah, that's what it's called. And they had their Christmas stuff up even before Halloween was done. So it was just, you know. But part of our calling as Christians is to recognize that before Christmas comes, we have this time of preparation in Advent where we're giving thanks. We are focusing on the coming of Christ. So we're going to take that time over these next few weeks and talk a lot about the light and dark theme, and it should be a good time. I want to draw our attention to, I did this last Sunday as well as part of our Thanksgiving service. And our covenant has a missionary prayer calendar. And the man that we're praying for today is named Andrew Larson. And some of you, if you follow up on Covenant News, he is a special assignment missionary. And I'll leave this on the table in the back. He works in our newest mission area, which is Middle East, North Africa. His specific calling is to work with Muslim and Palestinian, both Muslims and Christians and Jews, to bring them together. And what he has found is that there is a lot more that can bring people together than we would ever think possible. So right now, he is somewhere at a church in the U.S. I don't know exactly where. And he is preaching on what God is doing in that part of the world. And it is amazing. And so we're going to pray for Andrew this morning. His specific title is Peacemaking and Reconciliation in North America and Middle East, North Africa. So he is a great guy if you've ever get the chance to meet him. We'll be praying for Palestine and Israel too, because that is also listed. Will you join me as we go to the Lord in a time of prayer? Father, as we come off the high of food and fellowship, the chance for some to be with family or friends, we are indeed thankful. We are thankful that you sent your Son. And we're thankful that we get to participate in this season where we are awaiting our coming King, Lord Jesus. We thank you. God, I specifically want to lift up Andy Larson this morning, who you have gifted and called to communicate the good news, the hard work of reconciliation and peacemaking in an area of the world that since the time of the Bible has known little peace, has known little reconciliation. God, we pray for his efforts, both there and here domestically, as he helps raise awareness through the Covenant Church of what you are already doing and have been doing since the beginning in that part of the world. God, for your faithful Christians who remain, will you give them strength? Give them the ability to be light in your world. God, as we hear their stories, as we're exposed to the work that you are doing, may it kind of invigorate us that where you have planted us, where you have called us, right here in Pittsburgh, in California, or to the ends of the earth, that we are your light. We are called to shine out. God, we never want to forget that. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the way that you have drawn us together. Will you continue to be with us now? Will you turn our hearts to you? Turn our concerns to your concerns. Help us to be your light in the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of you know that we moved here from a place out in the country. And one of the cool things was you could see the stars almost every night. Except for the fact that right outside our side door, we had a big old light on top of this pole, which was kind of annoying sometimes, until the day that the power went out. And power going out is probably something that you've all experienced at home at some point. You know, your lights have gone out, and there's that momentary panic where everything is pitch dark. And this time of year, even if it's like 5 o'clock, everything is pitch dark, and what do? First thing, you run around and you're trying to find that one candle that is out, that you remember where it is. And it's sort of like it's your house and you know where everything is, and yet that light goes out and suddenly you've turned into a complete idiot. You'd have no idea where anything is and you're just stumbling over everything. And that was me the last time the power went out. And I found this candle and I was like, yes, I found the candle. I can get some light back. But I could not find a match. I could not find a lighter anywhere. So then I'm fumbling around. I have this, which is no good. You know, it's just a paperweight at that point. And I finally find the one flashlight that we're supposed to put in a spot in our house so that we know where it is. And I go to turn it on, and I click the button, and nothing happens. And now this one has batteries in it. I open it up, and there's no batteries in it. And I'm thinking, now where are the batteries? And the batteries, of course, are with all the other D batteries in all of our camping bins. And where are they? They're in the garage with all the other stuff. And so I'm digging around in the dark just to find that one D battery so that I could turn the flashlight on. And it was sort of like kind of pitiful. It really didn't do very much. You know, I'm really thankful for light. Because when you're out in the country and it gets dark, it gets really dark. And I felt like I kind of turned into a little kid that was afraid of the dark that last time the power went out. And maybe you have that in your own home, you know. You just feel like you were 8 years old again. You're stumbling around and you just yearn for the light. And there was no moon. And it's just kind of gloomy. And you know what happens in the dark. That's when our dreams are the worst. That's when the shadows are the scariest. That's when our mind wanders and we think about all the things that could be that are around us. Everything is creepier in the dark. When we look at the Bible often uses the picture, the image of light and dark. In fact, light and dark are all throughout the Bible, to use our experience of what it's like to be in the darkness physically to illustrate what it's like to be and live in the darkness spiritually, mentally, emotionally. These contrasts of what light and dark are like. And we're going to take a look at the prophet Isaiah today. And Isaiah lived in a time of great darkness, great spiritual darkness. Evil was rampant. Many people were without hope. The very people whom had entered the promised land hundreds of years before and now were hopeless because they had abandoned the Lord. Isaiah came to warn the people, to call them to return into the light, to return to God. And he was preparing the gift of salvation through the Messiah that they knew would be coming, but they had no idea when. And many people had turned away. This was a message that Isaiah was to say his entire prophetic career. And very few people ever listened to him. The message that true hope could never be found in any human institution, in any human government, in any leader, in anything that we can think of in our own mind. True hope is only found in responding to the Lord. And like today, this is not always a popular message because we want to put our hope and trust in so many things other than the Lord. We think that so many things will save us, will make our lives better, and none of it will ever come to pass without the Lord. This is a message that can create newfound hope, that the Lord is the light. Christ is the only light that will pierce our darkness. He is the only light that will fill it with hope, love, joy, peace. This light may be just what the Lord wants you to hear as we start this season of Advent now and into next Sunday. Maybe this is just the moment in your life journey where you need a reminder that light is the answer, the light of Christ. So let's explore three aspects of the truth in Isaiah 9 this morning. Isaiah is a prophet that we don't always come to. Sometimes if we're looking at Isaiah, it's usually at sort of the Christmas Advent season that we get to him. His time was doom and gloom. There were enemy invasions, there was sin, there were false prophets and teachers abounding. There was a downward morality in God's people. Sound familiar? The kingdom of Israel had split apart long ago. Remember a couple weeks ago when we were looking at the promised land? Entering the promised land, all the people were so full of hope. That was like a distant memory now. The people had forgotten what it felt like to enter the promised land. The northern 10 tribes, which had split away, they were already gone. They had been taken over, consumed by their northern neighbor. When Isaiah was just a young man, this happened. So he receives a vision from the Lord, and he is told to speak on the Lord's behalf to the last two tribes that remained, Judah. He tells them what to do, what to say. But here's the kicker. You have to do this, but nobody's going to listen to you. Now imagine posting that on the job board. We're looking for someone. You don't have to know what to do or what to say, but here's the reality. No one's going to listen to you the entire time you do it. Sign me up. No, there's no one that would want that job. Their hearts had strayed for so long, the people that he was called to speak to. They had rebelled against God, that most had become hardened beyond repentance. We don't like to think that. But there are hearts that are hardened beyond repentance. Ouch. The Bible says that he would speak until the cities were ruined, houses deserted, fields ravaged, land utterly forsaken. And then it says, though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. Again, sounds like a job nobody would want. A consultant would call him ineffective, inefficient, a failure, irrelevant. 90% of the people that he was called to reach wouldn't listen. But God sends Isaiah anyway. Why? Why would he do that? I'm sure there are a whole host of reasons, but one that came to me this week through conversations is that God can do amazing things with only a tenth. Isaiah says that if you follow the way of other people, you find only distress, darkness, and fearful gloom. And then he starts chapter 9 with a great word. No, it's not the word but. It's the word nevertheless. He anticipates God's life coming to the people. Let me read verse 1 for us. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Where do you think Jesus went to? This very place that Isaiah was talking about here. You can read more about that in Matthew and some of the other Gospels. See, Isaiah points to the same truth that we can cling to as well. Light will always overshadow darkness. Look at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. I love that verse. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. Light always overshadows darkness. Darkness can never overshadow light. Like fumbling around for that flashlight, people are stumbling around. They are looking for light in the darkness, light that will shine hope into the misery that we experience, light that will shine hope into the midst of financial problems and miseries and strifes and depression and uncertainty and anxiety. And only the light of Christ can touch any of that. Isaiah probably had no idea what God had in store, how God was going to make this all happen. But he delivered this good news in verse 2, a verse of hope. We see darkness show up even today, a world of chaos and mayhem, where people kill each other, where people blow each other up, where families are divided, nation against nation. We say we long for peace, but often all we see is struggle. And darkness creeps closer to home, even through our own sin, through our dysfunctions, and it hides in the corner sometimes, just waiting to pounce, to infect and distract and discourage us. With so much darkness, I mean, this time of year we get less than 8 hours of even sunlight. What hope is there for us? Isaiah shares it with us. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That's another translation. In John, the New Testament gospel, he says this: the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. This light became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Some 700 years later, after Jesus himself is tempted by the devil, his first words are, "He is the light that has dawned." He speaks the words of Isaiah. It may take a long time. It may take till the rest of our life before Jesus comes. It may take after our life till Jesus comes. But eventually, the light overshadows the darkness. And because of this, we can be strengthened in our hope today. Don't give up. Keep going forward. The light is here. That's the first thing I wanted to draw forward for us today. The second one: wherever there is light, there are other elements of truth. We find that, you know, how light illuminates other things. You know, when you're walking forward with a little, you've got your— we hang this in our tent just for a little extra light. And then I usually put like a little piece of paper because it's almost too bright. But you light this and you actually can see where you're going in the middle of the night when you're camping. You need to go to the bathroom. You know, wherever light shines, there's other things that are revealed. And this is one of those things that Isaiah shares with us. Gladness overpowers gloom. Maybe you woke up and you drove and you came here this morning and you saw all the clouds and you were just kind of feeling a little sluggish, a little gloom. We were out, we had the privilege to be out on the bay yesterday, and it was kind of overcast, and I think you even used the word gloomy. And then the sun kind of shone out for just a moment, and it seemed kind of better for just that brief time. Gladness overpowers gloom. Let me read verses 3 and 4 for us. "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Gladness overpowers gloom. Isaiah speaks, if you read through all 66 chapters of Isaiah, it's long. But if you do, you will find a lot of gloom and distress that Isaiah speaks to. But you will also see a lot of joy and hope, because gladness overpowers gloom. Gloom is a word that, when it's used in the Bible, it's deeper than just darkness. It's a word that means impenetrable dimness, pitch dark, like a cave or a blackout on a cloudy night. It's that word that just kind of makes us uncomfortable when you think of gloom. Gloom is the darkness we live in when we don't know the light of the Lord. It is our BC moment before Christ. That is gloom. This gloom produces distress and despair that can take you over. It can become your master and produce misery in your life. Isaiah's simple word is this: gloom does not have to remain for you and for God's people. In Isaiah's day, it was difficult to imagine that there could be anything good that was going to happen, because everything was going wrong. And a lot of it was self-inflicted. The people had wandered far from God, and God was allowed their northern brethren to be taken over. And things didn't look too good for them as well. They didn't have the benefit of the rest of God's word like we do today, knowing that Christ did indeed come. We don't have to wonder like perhaps they had to. We know that in the gift of Jesus, who is the light of the world, we have received the one who removes the gloom of the darkness. He brings light and hope to anything that keeps us shackled in the dark. He is that one. Light always drives the shadows of darkness away when we remain in the light. When we're in the light and gloom gets out of there, it allows other things to grow, like gladness and joy and peace. I've known some depressing people in my life, not people with depression, but depressing people who are just negative about everything, that feel like there's nothing to be joyful about, and I know that you have as well. When we are in the light, everything might not be happy. Everything is not always happy. And yet when we're in the light, it allows other things to flourish in our life. Hope, joy, all those other fruits of the Spirit that we've talked about before. Our sorrows don't immediately go poof just because we're in the light. When that light comes back on after a blackout, you know, I still see how dirty my house is. When that light comes on and you feel like you're closer to God, it doesn't make all your troubles just magically and mysteriously go away. Everything is not always perfect. That's not life either. Rather, the gladness that God can give us reframes all that we are experiencing. If you're experiencing a lot of just despair right now, allow the light of God to reframe your experience. It may not make it all better, but it might give you an empathy for that person next to you. It might take your eyes for a moment off yourself to see the suffering, or see, you know what, I'm suffering just like this person here. Maybe this is the person that I need to be supporting, and maybe they'll be able to support me as well. I have hope and joy and peace because I'm living in the light of Christ, and that should be our refrain for all of us. I'm not always happy. I can be a bear to live with, just like all of us, I'm sure. It is only the power of the light of Christ that can truly shine into our world and restore our spirit and bring relief and inspire gladness that can overpower gloom. That's the second thing. Number three, And this one always sounds kind of silly to us. Victory overcomes defeat. It seems silly because, of course, victory overcomes defeat. It's like saying the team that scores the most points wins the game. Duh. We know that victory overcomes defeat. But see, Isaiah's people at that time, they didn't know that. They had not really had any victories. And when you haven't had any victories for a while, you forget that victory is even possible. If you have lost many football games in a row, you start to wonder, will we ever win a game? If you're the Golden State Warriors, it's the opposite problem. In Isaiah's day, it was difficult to see anything other than defeat. And he wanted the people so badly to step out of darkness and gloom and defeat and return to the Lord by stepping back into the light. Let me read verses 6 and 7 for us. This is what he said. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And for people whose very brothers and sisters and families that lived in the north that have been taken away and they had no idea what happened to them, this is a word of hope. This is a word of hope that not all is lost, that better days are ahead. And yet, most did not listen to this word. It's too bad, and yet we repeat ourselves even today. We fail to listen to what the Lord says even today. We forget that the darkness is turned into light when Christ came, that the end is already certain. We forget that at times, especially in the day-to-day where things are just grueling and dragging us down. And if that's where you're at, know this, you're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus himself counseled his first disciples about the difficulties that they too would face, the darkness that would press in on them. He said this in John 16, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You will have trouble, he said. I like gonna. But take heart. I have overcome the world. You're going to have trouble. But take heart. Christ has overcome the world. Victory overcomes defeat. His light has the power to transform your life by lifting the burdens from your shoulders and the darkness that threatens to overwhelm you. You can never be totally defeated because Christ has overcome the world. I like Isaiah. I like that word. It's good to read that again. We don't get into the prophets that often. When our power finally came back on, that day came off, it was such a relief. It was a relief to turn this blinding thing off too. The outdoor light came on. I couldn't see the stars anymore, which is okay because I was kind of scared. It pushed all that darkness away. Listen to the first words that begin the Gospel of John. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No longer, if you've been running, searching, running away, whatever the case may be, no longer do you need to chase away the shadows of fear with anything other than the light of Christ who overcame darkness. See, darkness scares us. We can't overcome that at all. Only Christ can. He's the only light that consistently works. You don't have to do this too, which you've all done before to your flashlights. If you are searching today, search no further. If you have people in your life that are searching, point them to the light. They can search no further when they have the light. If you're walking in the grip of darkness and fear, be gripped no more. For God's gift of the light has dawned already. You might see all the negativity of our world. You might turn on the news and get so depressed all the time. Maybe you have to turn it off. The light has come. Reach out. Trust in Jesus, whether it's your first time or your 500th time or your 1,000th time. Walk in his light. You have the source in your grasp, giving you confidence in that next step forward for your life. As we journey together over these next weeks, the 4 weeks of Advent, the fourth week of Advent is coincidentally also Christmas Eve. Be excited as we anticipate the coming of Christ. Don't be in such a rush to get to that Christmas morning moment. Let's kind of savor these weeks of Advent. Everyone else can rush forward, okay? Let's take this time to anticipate and celebrate the coming of Christ, who is the light of the world. May his light shine brightly in you and through you, bringing hope, joy, peace, and love into this amazing world. Amen. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much that you sent your Son, the light of the world, to be that light, to overcome the darkness, to provide that way forward for us. God, I pray for anyone here this morning who is not yet walking in the light, that you might prompt the heart, that their heart might not be so calloused and hard that they are beyond you. God, if they are here, we know that they are not beyond you. God, will you speak truth and words of hope into each heart? God, I want to pray for those who might want to take that step of faith this morning. All you have to do is just say, Jesus, I'm lost. I don't know what I'm searching for. I don't know where to go, where to turn, but somehow I want to respond to you, Jesus. I believe in you, that you are the light of the world, that you did come to save me, to remove that burden from my shoulders. God, I take this first step with you today. If this is you this morning, if you're thinking or you prayed that, I invite you to come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to pray for you. God, now will you receive our response? We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last song, I invite you to take out your connection cards. If you fill those out, we're going to pass our offering, what are those things called? Things. And you have a chance to give those connection cards, baskets. I don't know what they're called, but it's a chance for us to give back to God a portion of what he has blessed us with. This is when we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord, and we ask God's blessing over them today. So as those go around, feel free to then stand and we'll sing together. That I just thought of from John chapter 12. This is right after a period of struggle. And says, "Then Jesus cried out, 'Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness.'" If you believe in the Lord, even now, you are in the light. May God bless you in the week to come. May God grant you all grace and mercy to be his hands and his feet and his heart in our wonderful, wonderful world. Go now in peace. Amen.